Kreshim Sechta Gittin Daf Ches. We will begin on Daf Zayin Amud Beis, four lines to the bottom. In our previous year, we have already begun discussing what is the halacha when you have things on close to the ground, but not exactly on the ground. How does that considered? Is it considered at Yisrael or not? Amrav Zera Otzitz Nokuf. We have a flower pot with a hole on the bottom. Munach al gabe yizdos, that is on a stand, is and fruits grow out of it. Is it considered peiros es yisrael or not? Says the Gemara, Rabbanan l'machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan, is it considered the fruit of es yisrael and chayiv and trumas and maestros or not? And the Gemara wants to assume that just like Rabbi Yehuda taught us in our previous year, that a boat that's on the water in es yisrael is considered connected to the ground. So too, that even though this flower pot is not actually touching the ground, the halacha is that it's not considered chayiv ma'isus. The chamim that held that even if it's just on the water of Eretz Yisrael, it's considered as part of Eretz Yisrael. So too will be the halacha with a flower pot. So too will be the halacha with a flower pot that has a hole in it over the land of Eretz Yisrael, the halacha is that that flower pot will be considered like it's an Eretz Yisrael. And as I saw the Ritva explains, what should not be taken into consideration in this Gemara is where the earth from that flower pot came from. He says it doesn't make a difference if it's earth from Eretz Yisrael or it's earth from Chutz Laretz, the halacha wouldn't change. Amar Rava, to which Rava says, the two machlokes that we've been learning do not necessarily travel together. Because demalohi at kan lekam Rabbi Yehuda hasam. When did Rabbi Yehuda say his halacha el besfina sui levroyach? A boat, which is meant to constantly be on the move, that's when, if it's not actually touching the ground of Eretz Yisrael, it's not considered connected to Eretz Yisrael. Aval otzutz. When we talk about a flower patch en asui levroyach, that stands in one spot, loy, Rabbi Yehuda will not say that, and Rabbi Yehuda will agree that something like that is considered connected to the ground. Inami, on the other hand, we could say, at kan lekam Rabbanan hasam, when did Rabbanan say in the previous year that it's considered part of Eretz Yisrael, el besfina only in a boat, delay mafzik avira, there's no ear in between the plant and the ground, there's only water. The Maya, because the Rabbanan are of the opinion that water is ke'aris mechtadamya. It's considered an extension of the earth. Aval, also when we speak about the flower pattern, our shir today, that the mafsik avira, so we have air in between. When we have air in between, even the Rabbanan will agree that's not considered connected. The Rishonim discuss this halacha about the flower pot that has the hole regarding many halachas. The halacha is that if a Shemitah year comes and one wants to be able to avoid the problem that all the loans get canceled in the Shemitah year, you could write a prosbul. But a person who writes a prosbul has to own property. And the question that comes up is if somebody has a prosbul, if somebody has such a otzitz nokov, will it be considered enough property that it should be considered that he could write a prosbul? And the Rishonim take the opinion that it is considered a situation as if you have property and you could write a prosbul. The same issue comes up regarding Hilchos Shabbos. Is a flower pot with a hole in it considered connected to the ground, and are you allowed to pull fruits and vegetables that grow out of this flower pot? And most Rishonim are of the opinion, again, that it's considered, the Mishnah Berurah Paskins this way, that it's considered connected to the ground, and the halacha is that because it's considered mechubel karka. And moreover, says the Mishnah Berurah, that if somebody had a flower pot with a hole over the ground, and then he took that flower pot with the hole, which was over the ground, and then put it, let's say, on the table, it would be considered the malacha of toilish, of detaching something which was attached to the ground. On the other hand, I did see a tshuva from Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal, Shalos Tshuvos, Mincha Shlomo Chelek Aleph, Simen Mem, that we're going to learn that the halacha is that one is not allowed to sell property in Eretz Yisrael to an Akum. And the question that he discusses is, what would be the halacha regarding an Otzitz Nokov? What would be the halacha, could somebody sell such a flower plot to a Nochri? And he says that even though we're considering in our sugya that it's considered as if attached to the ground, it's not considered attached to the ground to the degree, says Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, that it's not, that it's so much part of Eretz Yisrael that you're not allowed to sell it to Akum. We, in our previous shiur, discussed the steer of the brises. That in one brise it says that somebody who brings a get in a boat, it's as if he's bringing it in Eretz Yisrael. And the other one said that it's like chutzlarts. So the Gemara now attempts to give another teretz to that question. Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak Amar, ben Haras Eretz Yisrael, when in the rivers that Eretz Yisrael, kul am loy pligi, everybody is of agreement, says Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak, that it's considered as if it was written in Eretz Yisrael. El ki pligi, the machlokes is b'yam ha-godl. It was written in the yam ha-godl. Is the Yam HaGadol considered an Eretz Yisrael? Is the Yam HaGadol considered part of Eretz Yisrael, or is it not considered by Eretz Yisrael? The Tanya, as the Brisa teaches us, Ka'ezu Eretz Ve'ezu Chutz La'aretz. Until where does the border of Eretz Yisrael go? From where is it Eretz Yisrael, and where is it Chutz La'aretz? Because the pasuk says, V'hoy lachem Hayam HaGadol U'gvul Zeh Yulachem Gvul Yom. That the Torah is teaching us that the on the west side of Eretz Yisrael, the Yam HaGadol, the Mediterranean Ocean, is considered the border. So now the question is exactly where, says the Gemara, says the Brachos, Kol Shishapeya V'yar Metoya Amnul Afnim, anything which leans from the Torah Amnim in towards the south, that is Eretz Yisrael. Metoya Amnim L'chutz, anything outward from the Torah Amnum is Chutz La'aretz. So now the Braisa continues. Hanisim Shebiyam, the little islands that are in the Yam, Roinoi Soi, how do we judge them? Do we judge them as part of Eretz Yisrael or not? Says the Gemara, the Braisa, Roinoi Soi, Kilu Chut Masiach Aleim, we draw an imaginary line, Mitori Amnon Ad Nachal Mitzrayim, from the Torah Amnon to Nachal Mitzrayim. Anything that's on inside that imaginary line towards Eretz Yisrael is considered Eretz Yisrael. Anything that's from the imaginary line and lechutz is chutz la'aretz. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol shekeneged Eretz Yisrael, anything of the Yam HaGadol which is facing Eretz Yisrael, harei Eretz Yisrael, is all considered Eretz Yisrael. Shneimar u'gvul yam. Everything that's in the Yam HaGadol facing Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yehuda says is Eretz Yisrael. Vanisim shebet stadim, and you have these islands that are on the south or the north, not facing Eretz Yisrael. Roinoi Son, the way we look, is kilo chut mesuach aleim mikafluria ad Yam Mitzrayim. There's a city that's by the Torah Amnon, and we draw a line on the west side till the Yam HaKadosh, until the Atlantic Ocean, U'menachem Mitzrayim ad Yam HaKadosh. And then on the south side, we draw a line from Nachal Mitzrayim. Menachot Lefnim, anything that's between these two lines is considered Eretz Yisrael. Anything that's outside of these lines is considered Chutz La'aretz. So now we can understand how to reconcile these two brises. The brisa that says that it's considered chutz la'aretz is anything that's within that line. And the brisa that says that, because Rabbi Yehuda has a much broader interpretation of what is the border of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbanan, the brisa that says it's considered chutz laaretz, doesn't. Rabbanan ha'yigvul my avdelei, that Rabbi Yehuda uses that to expand the border of Eretz Yisrael, says the Marabayle l'nasim, to teach us the halacha of the islands that are within the line. Rabbi Yehuda, where will he know this halacha? Says Nasan l'tzuchikra, he doesn't need a special pasuk. I saw that Rav Chaim Knievsky was asked that there are opinions that already part, we're learning it now in our Gemara, that there are opinions that part of Eretz Yisrael is already, that part of the Mediterranean, part of the Yam HaGadol, is already not considered Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Chaim Knievsky was asked that people that go to the beach by the Yam HaGadol, and he was asked, how could they go to the beach by the Yam HaGadol? They may be leaving Eretz Yisrael. So he says, any place that people are still going to swim in, since people are going to swim in that area, he says, that is a proof that's still considered part of Eretz Yisrael. He says, a chiddush, it's considered the abosha, it's considered part of the of land of Eretz Yisrael. We begin now to learn a sugya of kibush yachid. Surya, which is Aram Tzoiva, David HaMelech, conquered Aram Tzoiva for himself. And that's what's known throughout Shas as a Kibush Yochid. And there's a Machloikus, the Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Chof Aleph Amar Aleph discusses what is the status of a Kibush Yochid. According to Rabbi Yossi, Kibush Yochid, Lav Shmei Kibush, it's not considered part of Eretz Yisrael. That place doesn't have the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. According to Rameya, Kibush Yochid, Shmei Kibush, a part that's captured, that does have the rule of Eretz Yisrael. This brings itself to another question, that one is, if one sells his servant that he's going to have to leave Eretz Yisrael, the halacha is that the sale, that the eved goes free. And the question is, what is the halacha if somebody sells an eved to go, that the owner will be out of Eretz Yisrael? So again, as we said, that there are many different interpretations and what is the definition of a kibush yochid. Rashi says, because not all of Klal Yisrael was with him when he conquered this land. And it's only considered all of Eretz Yisrael when all Klal Yisrael participate. Another pshat is that David HaMelech did not conquer Surya to divide it amongst all of Klal Yisrael, like the rest of Eretz Yisrael was conquered. Rather, David HaMelech conquered Surya to keep it for himself. And that's why it's considered Kibush Yochid. Another pshat, why it's considered Kibush Yochid, is because it was captured before the rest of Eretz Yisrael was captured. And any way that's captured before the rest of Eretz Yisrael is captured is considered a kibush yochid. Of course, the Achronim ask on that interpretation. If a kibush yochid means that it was conquered before the rest of Eretz Yisrael was conquered, we could understand that. But if that's the case, when the rest of Eretz Yisrael was conquered, then it should revert back to become part of Eretz Yisrael. So I saw two terutzim. One terutz is that the Chazon Ish offers. The Chazon Ish says that there was never a time that they conquered the entirety of Eretz Yisrael. Since there was never a time that they conquered the entirety of Eretz Yisrael, says the Chazon Ish, that's why the question that we just asked is not relevant, because it never came to a point that all of Eretz Yisrael was conquered. But the Migdash David, I saw, has a different pshat. He says that the moment of definition of it's a kibush yochid or not is that we look at the time that it was conquered. And if it was if at the time it was conquered, it was a kibush yochid, it can never change status that it should be considered Eretz Yisrael. Another pshat that the Chasam Sofer suggests, the why is a piece of land in Eretz Yisrael called a kibush yochid? Because when Eretz Yisrael is conquered, there's a procedure that the king and the Sanhedrin and the Urim V'Tumim are all involved in deciding that this is a place that should be conquered. But if it was this was done just based on David HaMelech's decision, since it was only based on David HaMelech's decision, not on a communal decision, that's why it's considered a kibush yochid. I saw a pshat was saying kibush yochid like kibush leishmai kibush. If somebody is a kibush yochid, if somebody only works on himself, he works on improving himself, but he doesn't try to improve other people, that's considered a kibush yochid. That's leishmai kibush. We're not only supposed to be thinking about ourselves, we're supposed to be thinking about other people as well. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, Ramei Omer, we learned in the Mishnah that Ramei taught us, Akka Eretz Yisrael, that Akka is considered like Eretz Yisrael legitin. Barminei, so says the Gemara, Barminei Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Hamoicha Avdei l'Suria, if somebody sells his Eved to someone who lives in Suria, Kamoicha b'chutz l'aretz, dummy, is he's selling it to somebody who's in Chutz Loretz, and we learned that if somebody sells an Eved Kanayin to Chutz Loretz, then he goes free. And since one is not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael by selling, and the Eved is Mechuyah B'mitzvahs, so if you sell your Eved to Chutz Loretz, you violated the halacha that you're not allowed to cause somebody who's Mechuyah B'mitzvahs to leave Eretz Yisrael. So by you selling your Eved to Chutz Loretz, you caused him to do that Aveira, and because you caused him to do that Aveira, he goes free. Oiloi. What, or is it not that same? Because it's not considered as if he was sold to Chutz Loretz. Amalu, to which he explained, he answered to Nisua. The answer to that question could be learned from our Mishnah. We learned in our Mishnah, Ramei Oimer Akad Ketz Yisrael L'Gitin. Akad is considered like Yisrael as far as Gitin is concerned. What do we learn from there? L'Gitin in, as far as Hilchas Gitin is concerned, it's considered like Eretz Yisrael. L'Avodim, but as far as Avodim, Loi. And it's not considered of like Eretz Yisrael, and somebody would sell his Eved to Akoi, the Eved goes free. So says the Gemara, presumably, for Koshkein, the halacha is that ought to be the halacha if you sell your Eved to Surya, which is the Merchkutfei, which is even more to the north than Akoi is. So if you sell your Eved to Akoi, the Eved goes free. Certainly if you sell your Eved to Surya, he goes free. The Rav Nachum in Ashurim explains that we have to explain, and this is an important concept in our Ashurim, that Eretz Yisrael was conquered in two times. It was conquered by Yeshua, with the people who participated with the Oilei Mitzrayim, and then it was conquered in the time when Ezra came up. And he says the halacha is that Kedush Rishona, the original Kedush that was conquered at the time of Yeshua, like Kitchelas Lavai. And he explains that Akoi only was conquered in the time of Yeshua, but it was not conquered in the time of Ezra. And since it wasn't conquered in that time, since it does have a quasi-status of Eretz Yisrael, but since it wasn't really completely Eretz Yisrael, and it's also far from the Yish of Eretz Yisrael, that's why it's not considered Eretz Yisrael. If that's the case, says Rav Nachum, we could understand Surya, which Surya was even less than Akoi, because Surya was a kibush yochid. So if someone which was captured by just David HaMelech is considered, if somebody which captured by the Oilei Mitzrayim is not considered Eretz Yisrael, so certainly a place that was captured only by David with a kibush yochid is not considered Eretz Yisrael. And indeed, the halacha, as we're learning now, is that Surya is not considered Eretz Yisrael, and since it's not considered Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't have the halachas. And as we just learned, for example, if somebody sells an Eved to Surya, the Eved would go free. I saw that Rabbi Yoshe Ben Soloveitchik explains that if you look in the pasuk that speaks about the Muhammad that they went to capture Syria, the pasuk says that Yoav, who was the general, Chazak v'nis chazek, the pasuk says Chazak v'nis chazek, ba'ad amenu ba'ad ore elokeinu. And the Gemara Masechet Brachos, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, learns from here that Derech Eretz is one of the things that requires chizik. More that the person has to strengthen himself to do what he's supposed to do correctly. Says that why is that the place we learn this halacha from? Says Rabbi Yosher Ben Zatzal. He says that if it's not a mitzvah, so Derech Eretz is not a specific mitzvah. So from here we learn that something which is not a specific mitzvah still requires chizik. Another reason why I saw the kibbush yachid loishmei kibbush is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, told David HaMelech, some lepaltrin shulcha. There were places that are very close to Yerushalayim where David HaMelech resided. You didn't take over, so certainly places that are not close to Yerushalayim, Syria, which as we're learning now is quite a distance, the halacha is you should have not be capturing before you conquer the rest of Eretz Yisrael, which is closer to where Eretz Yisrael proper. We now will begin learning the sugya of Tumas Eretz Amim. And there were three phases to the gzeira that Chazal made about the Tumah of Eretz Amim. The Gemara Masechet Shabbos Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis says that at the time of the beginning of Bayis Sheni, Yosef ben Yehuda Yisraida and Yosef ben Yochanan Yerushalayim said Tumah on Eretz Amim. That means if Truma came in contact with the earth of Eretz Amim, it becomes Tumah Misafik. We don't burn it, but we may not eat it. Then the Gemara over there on Daf Tes Vav Amar Alef Masechta Shabbos teaches. So the Gzeira was strictly on the earth of the Eretz Amim. Then the Gemara over there on Daf Tes Vav Amar Alef teaches us that 80 years before the Charbon, the Chachamim expanded this Gzeira, and they said that there's Tumah on the Avir HaEretz Amim, which we will discuss later. And therefore, we now have two different types of Tumah. We have Tumas Gusha, the actual earth of Eretz Amim being Tamei. And we have Tumas Avira, the airspace of Eretz Amim. A number of years after the Charbon, at the time that Rav Gamliel was the Nasi, in Usha they made another Gzeira, that the Tumah of Eretz Amim should not just be a Tumah B'Safik, which as we learned, that Truma, for example, comes in contact, the Halach is a Tumah B'Safik, but it should be considered Tumas Vadai. What does that mean? That if Truma comes to actual contact with the earth of Eretz Amim, it's considered Vadai Tomei, and it has to be burnt. If it comes in contact with the Avir, it's still considered Tumas Sofik. Al Gemara will now discuss at greater length what is the definition of Tumas Avir Eretz Amim. To what degree did they make the Avir, the airspace of Eretz Amim, Tomei? And of course, this is a very, very relevant shaila for somebody who's flying, for Koyin that's in a plane going over the airspace, for example, of Eretz Amim. Tana Bonin says the Gemara, the Brisa teaches us, B'shloish Adrachim Shofs Asuriya L'Eretz Yisrael. In three ways, Surya is considered like Eretz Yisrael. B'shloish L'Chutz L'Aretz, in three ways, it's considered like Chutz L'Aretz. Simen Av Bar Rak. Afratamik Chutz L'Aretz. The offer of Surya, the earth of Surya, is treated like the earth of Chutz L'Aretz, which we just said is Vadei Tuma. Hamoich Avdil Surya, the Alok that we began with, that if somebody sells his Ever Kanani to Surya, it's Kamoich Avdil B'Chutz L'Aretz, it's like selling his Eved to Chutz L'Aretz. And as we've been learning, that if somebody sells an Eved to Chutz L'Aretz, the Eved goes free. If I maybe get Masurya, and the last thing halacha is that it's similar to Chutz L'Aretz, that if somebody brings a get from Surya, is kamei mechutzlarts, like you brought a get from chutzlarts, which, as we learned from the beginning of a mesechta, you then have to say b'fari nechta, b'fari nechta. On the other hand, says the Braisa, b'shloish shel Eretz Yisrael, in three ways, Surya is like Eretz Yisrael. Chayevus b'maiser b'shvius Eretz Yisrael. There's a chiyev of truma, there's maiser and truma like in Eretz Yisrael. Haroitz l'kanes lo b'tar v'nichnas. There is a way to enter Surya and remain tahor, but that will not be the case in rest of Chutz La'aretz. The kanes on the b'Surya, and somebody buys a piece of property in Surya, it's kind of the Pevari Yerushalayim. It's like you're buying it in Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara. So the Torah says, "Kol makom asher tidra kaf raglechem lechem yia." The Torah says that anything that you conquer outside Eretz Yisrael, lechem yia. And the other hand, the pasuk says, "Midbar alavonim nahar nahar paras v'ayoy me'achem yia gevulchem." So what does that mean? What is the Torah speaking about? So there's a machlokes that we're going to learn later on a mesechta. Is what that only by kibush rabim, that if you have a kibush rabim, that becomes Eretz Yisrael. But kibush yochid, as we're learning, is not considered a kibush. But then, as we said, there are opinions that hold kibush yochid is also considered kibush. So says the Gemara. The Braisa said regarding Surya, chayeves b'maisa b'shvius Eretz Yisrael, that there's a chiv maisa b'shvius in Surya. So obviously, the Braisa is of the opinion that kasava kibush yochid shmei kibush. And since it's considered kibush, since kibush yochid shmei kibush, that's why it's considered as if you, that's why it's chayev and shvius and maisa. But ask the Gemara, but the Braisa is v'roitz l'konis boi b'tara, but somebody wants to enter Surya b'tahara, nichnas. There's a way of doing that. V'amrit, but haven't we just learned that the offer of Surya is tamei? So how could you enter it and remain tamei, tahor? Answers the Gemara, the way to enter Surya and remain tahor is if you entered Surya b'shei de teva migdol, a large box that is not mekabel tuma. The loch is a box that is large enough to hold 40 saw, is a mechitza for tuma. The Tanya, because the Braisa teaches us, ha'nichnas l'Eretz Amim, if somebody enters the airspace of the Eretz Amim, which we're saying is tamei, if he enters it b'shei de teva migdol, Rebbe metama, Rebbe says that he's tamei, because Rebbe holds oil zorik lav shmei ol, a moving oil is not considered an oil, and therefore it doesn't serve as a mechitza between the person in it and the tuma. Rav Yosef metar, because he holds that oil zorik is considered an oil. Says the Gemara, Vafila Rebbe loy kometama, Rebbe who said that somebody's in shei metama el baretz amim, he only says that in eretz amim, the gozra gusha, and therefore the earth of eretz amim is considered tamei. Valavira, and they also made tuma on the earth, airspace, and therefore, if you enter the airspace of Surya, Rebbe says that you're going to be tamei. Even if you entered into the shade in the shade of Teva Megdol, it doesn't help you any because the shade of Teva Megdol is not considered a proper mechitza. And since it's not considered a proper mechitza, you don't have anything protecting you from the tuma. Ava Surya, but when we speak about Surya, says the Gemara, Al Gusha Gazru, that the earth of Surya is Tamei, Al Avira like Gazru. And since they didn't make a Tuma on the Avir of Surya, if somebody enters in a box, even if you hold that oil Zorik, Loishmei oil, it wouldn't make a difference because you only were in the airspace. And since you were only on the airspace, that's why you're not going to be tamei. And the Pnei Yeshua gives a beautiful explanation why, if they're treating the earth of Surya tamei, and we're saying now that now we're already at the point that the Avir of Eretz Amim is tamei, so why do we differentiate between the Avir of Surya and the Avir of other places, and the Avir of other places. So explains the Pnei Yeshua. It's really connected, he says, to the mitzvah of Yish of Eretz Yisrael. He says that if somebody lives in Surya, it's considered as if he's living in Eretz Yisrael. Since it's considered like he's living in Eretz Yisrael, so there's no reason to make a tumah on the Avir of Surya. But somebody who lives in Chutz Laretz certainly is not mekayim the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and that's why they extended the tumah also to the Avira. Why did they make a tumah on the Gusha? So the Rishonim give a number of explanations. One explanation, which the Rambam suggests, is that the people in Chutz Laretz were not careful where they buried people who passed away. And since they weren't careful where they buried people who passed away, we have to be concerned that there's tumah all over. That's one pshat. The other pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that the rest of the world besides Eretz Yisrael was suffered the Mabul. And because they suffered the Mabul, there were people who perished in the Mabul and are buried throughout the world. So there's tumah everywhere. Whereas in Eretz Yisrael, we don't have to worry about the earth. Now we have a very good reason. That's why the earth, even of Surya, is tameh, because there may be, even if there are people there are Jews, and they just don't bury any people anywhere, only in a cemetery, there still is the problem that the people in Surya, there was the Mabul in Surya, and therefore we have to treat it, the Gusha, the earth of Surya, is tameh. Says the Gemara, we learned that kind of sort of a Surya, if somebody buys a piece of property in Surya, kekoina b'favor Yerushalayim, as if he bought a property in Yerushalayim. Says the Malamai Hilchasa, what is this halacha teaching us? Amar Rav Chisda Loimar, this halacha is coming to teach us that kaisun alo'ayna afilu b'shabbos. If somebody's buying a piece of property in Surya, he could write the deed on Shabbos through a goy. And the introduction to this Gemara is the pasuk says regarding Shabbos, v'chibadet ha-masois drachecha, mimtza cheftzcha v'dabe dover. We learn from here, the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, daf kuf yud gimel amir aleph, v'dabe dover, shlo yud diburcha k'shabbos k'diburcha shechol. What we're allowed to say during the week, we're not allowed to say on Shabbos. Included in that means that during the week, of course, we may ask an akum to do work on our behalf. The same thing on Shabbos, but on Shabbos, we may not. And here we're learning that in certain circumstances, we could ask a non-Jew to write a deed on our behalf on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara b'Shabbos al kedatach. So the Gemara says, we learned the Gemara simple. It means kosev of oinah b'Shabbos means that you're allowed to write it yourself. And the Gemara immediately asks, is that possibly true that you could write Shabbos, you could be Michal Shabbos? Answers the Gemara could Amar Rava. The way to understand it is as Rava taught us. The Rava taught us, I'm alive with Kachavim, you're allowed to ask a guy to do certain malacha on our behalf, Vaisa. Hachnami, what it means here is, I'm alive with Kachavim, Vaisa, we could ask a non Jew to write the deed. Vafagav Damir La'iv Kacham Shfos, as we just said, normally we may not ask a non-Jew to do malach on our behalf. This is Rabbanan. Here, b'shum mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Chazal were more lenient, and they allow an Akum to write the deed. And as the Rishonim, the Shulchan Aruch points out, it's a situation where it can't be delayed. The deed must be written on Shabbos, so the halacha is, we can ask a non-Jew to write the deed for us. There's a machloikus Rishonim, what is the case here? Some Rishonim are lenient, that not only may we ask the Akum to write the deed, but we could even ask him to make the kinyan, to actually affect the transaction on our behalf. Other Rishonim say that of course we can't ask an Akum to affect the transaction for us in Shabbos. Here we're referring to a situation where the deal was already done. And the entire situation here is regarding that the deed has to be recorded. Dar Zeruah says a very big chiddush. He says that when we ask the Akum to write the deed, we ask him to write it in a language, in not Lashon Kodesh or Greek. Because the Arzurus says that when there's a halacha, that we're not allowed to write on Shabbos, it's only in Lashon HaKodesh or in Greek. Any other language is not considered a language. So therefore, writing in another language is only an Issa D'Rabbanan, and that will become a Shvus D'Shvus. The Akum is writing it, and he's writing it in a different language, and it will become a Shvus D'Shvus of Makom Mitzvah. Most Rishonim disagree, and most Rishonim say that writing any language is the Issa D'Raisa on Shabbos, and the way to understand this Gemara is because of the mitzvah of Yishuv Etz Yisrael, even though normally we're not allowed to ask an Akum to do a Malacha on our behalf on Shabbos, because of the mitzvah of Yishuv Etz Yisrael, we're allowed to. And the Iter says that this is not only for the mitzvah of Yishuv Etz Yisrael. The Iter says that for any mitzvah. So let's say I'm sitting in a room that's dark, says the Iter, and I want an Akum to put on the light, so I should eat the Suda Shabbos in a room that's properly illuminated. The Iter says you're allowed to ask an Akum. However, the Rambam and most Rishonim say that our Gemara is specifically speaking about the mitzvah of Yishuv Etz Yisrael. And only for the mitzvah of Etz Yisrael are we allowed to ask an Akum to do a melacha. Otherwise, we may not. And the Miri explains that why is the mitzvah of Etz Yisrael different? Because Etz Yisrael is the only place where many mitzvahs could be fulfilled. And therefore, it's a place that so many mitzvahs could be fulfilled. That's why more lenient. Other Rishonim explain that there's a mitzvah for Jews to own the land of Etz Yisrael, to take it out of the hands of the Akum, and therefore the house we're allowed to be lenient in this way on asking an Akum to write the deed on Shabbos. Another pshat that Rabbi Yosef Engel suggests is that a house of a non-Jew in Eretz Yisrael has on it, as we're learning, and that's why it's connected to this Gemara so well, says Rabbi Yosef Engel, has on it Tumas Eretz Amin. So to create a situation that we're removing Tumas Eretz Amin from the Akum is such an important mitzvah, says Rabbi Yosef Engel, to remove Tumah from Eretz Yisrael is such an important mitzvah. That's why the halacha is we'll have to have an Akum do it. And it's interesting that I saw that the Chazon Ish says that this halacha, that in order to buy a property in Eretz Yisrael, you're allowed to do it even through an Akum and Shabbos, applies, says the Chazon Ish, until this very day. The halacha is, as we said, that only a shvus, the only shvus that we could do an deraisa is for mitzvah Yisrael. But a shvus, the shvus, b'makom hefsid, if there's a question of loss, that is a different discussion. The halach is that we could be lenient, b'shvus, the shvus, b'makom hefsid. And I saw that Rabbi Yitzchak Silberstein Shlita in a sefer Chashuki Chemed tries to identify what is the definition of makom hefsid. And he says that it's hard to make that determination. It's a very subjective halacha. The Shas HaTshuvas Avni Nezer, Yoredei Simon Toflon Dalet, discusses, here we're learning that because of Yishuv Etz Yisrael, Chazal were lenient. And the question is, what is the definition of Yishuv Etz Yisrael? Is Yishuv Etz Yisrael only when you're going to buy the property? Or is Yishuv Etz Yisrael even if you rent the property? And of course the nafka mina would be, if somebody wants to rent a property in Etz Yisrael, may he do so by having the Akum write the rental agreement on Shabbos. And the Avni Nezer says that although our Gemara is teaching us how Chazal were lenient because of mitzvahs Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, he says it doesn't apply to somebody who's renting a property. He says it only applies to somebody who's buying a property. But renting a property, says Davni Nezer, is not included in the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And since it's not included in the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, may not be done, to have that rental agreement may not be done on Shabbos. Tanur Rabbanan, Eved Shevis Gitay, if Eved Kanani brought his get from Medina Siyam, and the way it was done, explains Rashi, is that the shtar was written in a way that the shichur, his going free, is only effective when he comes to the Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael and delivers the get. And the question is, the kasuba, and now the question is, that the halacha is, as we're going to learn, as we've learned, that when a woman brings her own get from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael, if she wasn't divorced at the moment she received the get, we learned early in our Masechta that she has to say Befani Nechtam, Befani Nechtam. The question is, here too, he has to say Befani Nechtam. But this get, this document had a very interesting language. It said, Atzmacha v'nuschasai k'nuin l'cha. You and my property become yours. That's how the owner wrote the document. The halacha is, Atzmai k'nuin, he becomes free, nechasim l'kana. But the nechasim, he doesn't take ownership until he could be mekayim the shtar. Says the Gemara, so, because what we do is palgid in the bura. We divide his statement, and we accept the statement as far himself, but we don't accept the statement as far as the assets. But now ask the Gemara, if it wasn't written in two phrases, Ibailu, if it was written in one phrase, Kol nechasai k'nuyin lo, the way it was written was, all of my assets are yours, and he is one of the assets. So now, what will be the halacha? Amar Abaya, b'tach shekana atzmai, since we said he's believed about himself, so therefore, kana nechasim, he's also believed regarding the asset. Amalei, Rava, so Rava asks Abaya, bishlama atzma likni, we understand why he's believed for himself, midadava get ishni, just like we learned that if a woman delivers her get, and she says b'fari nechtam, she's believed, so too here. But ask the Gemara, el nechasim lo likni, but why is he become the owner of the assets? Just like any shtar has to have kiyum, this shtar should have to have kiyum. Me did have a kiyum shtar as talma. Hadam Abaya, and Abaya said, you're correct. B'tosh lo yikonim nechasim, he can't take on ownership of the assets because he's not believed for them. He's also not believed, b'tosh lo yikonim nechasim, and you can't separate himself from the nechasim, so lo yikonim atzmai. Now Rava asked the other way. Bishlam nechasim lo yikonim, we understand why he doesn't take ownership of the nechasim. Midi dava kim shtaros da alma, that you can't become the owner of assets on a shtar without certifying the shtar. Ela atzma likni, midi dava a get isha. And because of this question, ela marava, therefore Rava says, in all situations, echad zeh vechad zeh, it doesn't make a difference how the language of the shtar is written, whether it says atzmacha v'nechasai, or whether it says kol nechasai, what we do is we do palgin and the bura, we divide the statement, and the halach is atzma kana, as far as for he himself, and of course the Gemara will explain this more in our coming shur, but as far as he himself, the halach is that he's kana, he's beloved for himself, but the halach is nechasim. As far as the property is concerned, since if he doesn't have Kim Shtar, we don't have that the document is verified, as far as that's concerned, Loikana, it will not become his until that verification takes place.